Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, Will. You got to give me that leg, Will.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York. Tonight on the show, we'll talk with Bills head coach Doug Marrone. We'll talk about his coaching staff and about the prospects here at the Senior Bowl. All that and all of the news of day one at the Senior Bowl. It's the John Murphy Show live from Mobile.
This place is pandemonium.
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
This is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mobile, Alabama. Welcome to the Renaissance Riverview Hotel right next door to the river here in Mobile. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and we're here until 9 o'clock tonight bringing you all the news of the Buffalo Bills and the NFL. You're welcome to join us, too. The phone lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Here for the next couple of hours, and while we're here, we got a lot to talk about. Some Bills news today. We had a long conversation with head coach Doug Marrone today about his plan for the immediate offseason. Also, his view of some of the prospects here. He got his first look at some of those prospects earlier today. So head coach Doug Marrone, we'll hear a long interview with him at 7:30, but we want to play some of the cuts of that as we move along through the day here. Also want to talk about yesterday's championship games. We'd like to get your input on that. What did you see? What did you like? How do you like the Super Bowl matchup? Who is it going to be now? Who do you think, Seattle or Denver? Who are you rooting for? Who do you think has the best chance? What about the controversy from yesterday's Super Bowl game? What about the way the game ended with that spectacular interception and the post-game interview that followed? What about Bill Belichick's comments today about the hit on Aqib Talib? Of all the teams to be complaining about setting picks, are you kidding me? Did you see all the picks the Patriots offensive players set all year long? Pretty amazing. We'll talk about all of that tonight. We want to hear your input as well. The phone line's open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. A lot of you already have, by the way, as we've been tweeting from the Senior Bowl all day long. An early start and a long day for us. And we started by setting up shop here at the headquarters hotel of the Senior Bowl and then made our way over for a long interview with head coach Doug Marrone a little bit about midday today. And then to practice. We went to the South practice today. It was held at a high school field, Fairhope Stadium, about 25 minutes outside of downtown Mobile. Watched the South. Had to rush back here to get set up for the radio show after that. And you know, it's interesting. You start to make observations about, you know, what you see out there. And we saw a lot today. But a lot of the news came before we even got to the field, in particular when we talked with head coach Doug Marrone. The news regarding Mike Pettine has been interesting the last few days. He remains a candidate for the head coaching vacancy with the Cleveland Browns, the only head coaching vacancy still out there. He remains a candidate. But as far as we know, and sources pretty close to the issue tell us, he has not had a second interview. He is going to find out tonight whether he will get a second interview with the Cleveland Browns. Mike Pettine did not get that second interview. Obviously, had a good first interview with the Browns, but he remains, at least right now, the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. Now, we did talk with head coach Doug Marrone about that, and he had some thoughts on Mike Pettine and where it stands for the Buffalo Bills and his defense coordinator right now. And here's what Coach Marrone had to say about Mike Pettine.
Obviously, you know, Mike has done a great job even prior to coming to Buffalo. And obviously did a great job for us this year. And I think that, you know, we're in a profession where, you know, people are going to recognize that. So, you know, we're very happy for Mike. You know, obviously he's in a process which Cleveland controls right now. You know, and they're getting ready to make decisions. And, you know, we're there to support Mike and help him. And, you know, obviously if it goes well and he does have the opportunity to go, then obviously Doug, myself, and Russ, we've already met. And, you know, we're ready to do what we have to do for our organization.
And there's really not much else the Bills can do. If Pettine gets the head coaching job, and if he's going to interview for the job, they've got to let him talk to him. And if he wants to go, he's got to go. It's an attractive job, I think, for Pettine and several others. Number one, it's one of just 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. There's that. It's a job that is well-funded. I mean, the Browns have a lot of room under the cap. They have a lot of room to money to spend, and they are a team that is not averse to spending money. They have a lot of draft picks stockpiled. The Browns have a lot of draft picks stockpiled. The Browns have five Pro Bowl performers now. So there is talent there. And for Mike Pettine, he'd be a fool not to talk to him. He'd also be a fool not to put his name out there, and that's why it's out there. Pettine, I think, believes that he wants to be a head coach. He knows that his mentor, Rex Ryan, spent about 3 years making the circuit, getting head coaching interviews before he finally got the job with the Jets. And I think Pettine realistically knows this might not be his job, but he certainly wants to keep his name out there. And as we said, from sources very close to the situation, told us a couple of hours ago that Pettine did not have his second interview with the Browns, but he may find out tonight whether he needs to have a second interview with the Browns. So there's that. Other coaching news for the Bills today came about as our conversation with head coach Doug Marrone. They are interviewing receiving coaching candidates here. You heard the news on the update a moment ago about Ike Hilliard hooking on with the Washington Redskins. The Bills have that vacancy to fill, and they're doing some interviews here. They have also determined that they're going to hire a quarterback coach. And Marrone told us that they are interviewing quarterback coach candidates here along with wide receiver coaching candidates.
We started that process back in Buffalo where we brought people in and talked to them. Coming here to Mobile is a great opportunity because you have, most of the coaches are all down here. So, now we have the ability to, talk to two people a day. And, we're looking at that as well as looking for other coaches on offense, too.
You may add a quarterback's coach. Tell me why you would think along those lines that you need a quarterback coach now.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett can do it all. I think it was very difficult for him this year with the three quarterbacks that we had to get ready with Kevin Cobb getting injured. I think that was very difficult. He has a responsibility, obviously, of being the offensive coordinator and calling the plays, and that's a lot. And, even though Nathaniel has voiced to me that, it's not a problem and he can do it, and there's no doubt in my mind he can, I think it's, my responsibility to make sure that we bring people in here to help and support.
Head coach Doug Marrone talking about the coaching staff and the coaching situation here. We also talk with Coach Marrone about his day. Now, this is really the first chance that he gets to dive into the prospects here at the available in the draft. And he told us about his typical day, what today was like for him and his coaches who are here.
Well, today we got up early and it was the weigh-in, so you get a chance to see the players weigh in. And there's some insight to that. You look at the player and you say to yourself, I think he can, lose X amount of weight, or this player can put on this amount of weight, or this person's frame is this, or it's not as developed as I think, or it's, very developed. So, you're getting a chance to look at them from that standpoint. And then, really, you're getting a chance to watch them on the field, which is the first opportunity for us to go out there and compete. And there's a lot of things to look for. You want to watch them, how they take instruction, what they're doing when the coach isn't looking at them, how they're running on the field, what their effort level is, because if you're not seeing everything you want to see here, that's a red flag.
Head coach Doug Marrone talking about his day here and what he looks at when he looks at the prospects here at the Senior Bowl. We're live at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We'll be here with live radio tonight. We'll be back again with live radio on Wednesday night. Podcast coming up the next Tuesday and Thursday because of hockey. A lot of stories here at the Senior Bowl and stories of interest to local football fans as well, including our next guest who is just sitting down at the table with us now. He is a product of the University of Toledo, but beyond that, is a native Western New Yorker, a native of Lockport, New York, running back David Flewellen, one of the players here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. David, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
We're a couple of Lockport guys. I can't believe our paths haven't crossed at Reed's Hot Dogs or Lock City Pizza or something like that.
Oh, yeah, but, we're here now, so it's meant to be.
I told you before, just when you sat down, this is how old I am, David. Your dad was a pretty good player at Medina High School. You corrected me. I thought it was Albion. And it had to be 1979 when he was in high school, I'm guessing, because I was at WLVO Radio in Lockport doing those games. He was a really good player back then.
Yeah, he was.
Do you have the pictures on the wall, the Medina Mustangs?
Yeah,
stuff
he got them. He brags about it all the time, talks about who's a better running back, me or him. So
yeah, who is?
About it. I think I am,
yeah,
honestly.
He never made it to the Senior Bowl, your dad.
No.
We're live with David Flewellen, Lockport native, who played for Toledo and is here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You just got the invite here a couple of days ago, right?
Right.
How did that come about?
My agent, he was talking to the executive here at the Senior Bowl, and he was just talking to me, seeing if I was healthy enough to go in and do it. You pulled some strings together, got me in here.
Were you on hold? Did you have a a feeling that you might get a chance to come down here and play?
Yeah, I had a feeling I might get a chance, but it was just seeing how I felt, you know, because in late October, I suffered an ankle injury, fractured my ankle in the season, and that was it for the rest of the season. I haven't played in a long time, so I got a combine invite, so it was really like, we're in a good situation with the combine, but, you know, should we really risk it or push it, you know, you going to an all-star game? I told him I was ready to compete, felt 100%, and we just went along with it.
You got to feel like you're really raring to go as far as getting on the field since it's been that long since you've done anything in a football field.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but, you know, it felt good going back out there. Just came back like riding a bike.
What have you done since the ankle injury to today, and what kind of workout have you been doing?
At Toledo, I've just been doing a lot of rehab until school was let out. Then I went immediately to my training facility in Scottsdale, Arizona. They'll call performance enhancement professionals out there with Ian Danny. They got like a lot of doctors on staff, really helped me out, got my ankle back together, corrected my running form because that's where a lot of my ankle injuries happen. So corrected that, and I've just been feeling good ever since.
What did they find in your running form that they wanted to correct?
I was running on my toes too much, and when I run on my toes, it just leave my ankle valuable to just get injured because it wasn't stable enough. It wasn't all the way in the ground. So I'm running a little bit more flat-footed with more support in the ground whenever I get tackled or whenever I make a cut or make a plant, stuff like that.
Must have been doing something right, David, at Toledo. I mean, you know, first-team All-MAC for the last couple of years, averaging 5.95 yards per carry during your career. To me, that indicates a home run hitter, a big play guy. Is that who you are?
Oh, yeah. You know, I just try to do it all. You know, if we need 2 or 3 yards for a first down, I'm going to try to get 5 or 6, you know. Or if you need a big play, I'm going to try to do it. Whatever the coaches needed me to do, I was that guy to come to.
When I was doing research on you, I came across this stat. You had four 200-yard rushing games during your Toledo career. And only, Chester Taylor, who played in the league, right, with the Minnesota Vikings, had more. That's pretty good company to be in.
Oh, yeah, it is. It feels good to be in the same conversation as him and all the success he had. But my coaches did a great job putting me in the best situation. I wanted it to be the workhorse for my team. So whenever we was in the need or, you know, really needed to get stuff going, I was ready to be that cowbell and get it going.
David Flewellen is our guest, the John Murphy Show from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. David is a Lockport native, University of Toledo product, who is here at the Senior Bowl this week. Here's a game that, from last year, that sort of indicates everything we just talked about. Western Michigan, 220 yards, 4 touchdowns, including a 66-yard touchdown run. Is that your signature game, do you think?
I think it is. You know, I think it's a game in my career that everybody will remember. But one of my favorite games was against Buffalo my junior year. Went back home, and it was bad weather. It was storming outside, but ran for
228. I looked that up, too.
Yeah, 228 in that game, and just playing in front of the home crowd. That's one game I'm always going to remember from my career.
Yeah, 35 carries in that game. You were a workhorse that day.
Being a workhorse that day, you know, the weather was bad, like I said. Wasn't allowed to pass the ball a lot, so we needed to get something going. So the coaches turned to me. And I accepted the challenge.
You were not able to play against Buffalo UB last year. Did that disappoint you a little bit? That would have been at Toledo, I think.
Yeah, it would have been at Toledo. It did disappoint me. I got a lot of friends on the Buffalo Bulls team. But it was the best situation for me to sit out, try to get my ankle better. So that's what the situation was.
David, injuries have sort of stuck with you. I mean, you missed, what, 4 games in your freshman year? You talked about the ankle injury, the broken ankle this year. You had an Achilles at one point, right, when you were?
We thought it was Achilles, but it turned out to be the ankle, yeah.
Do you feel like you've had sort of a star-crossed career there at Toledo, like you're just always trying to stay healthy?
No, I mean, like, how I got injured, you could never predict it, you know. You couldn't.
Right.
It just happens, and injuries is a part of the game, and I knew that going in, but I'm healthy now. I'm ready to take the next step forward in my career, and I'm just happy to be here.
Running back David Flewellen, our guest, a product of Lockport High School, first team All-Western New York, and the all-time rushing leader at Lockport. There have been some pretty good running backs there.
Yeah, it is. And my older brother, Jamal, he was the record holder for a long time.
He went to Syracuse in Maine, right?
You're right. And then, you know, just had a pretty good career at Lockport, was able to break some of them records, and moved on to the Toledo.
Who were your coaches? Was Coach Bronson your coach at Lockport, or Mike Finn? Or
Mike Finn was my coach my freshman year. Then he retired, and Bronson for the remaining 3 years.
And when you look back at those days, was there any inkling in your mind that you might have a chance to be here at the Senior Bowl and a chance to play in the NFL? Did anybody talk about that back then?
I haven't really talked about it. I really wasn't thinking about it. I was just going out having fun playing football. And then, you know, some college letters started to roll in. And then that's when I thought, you know, I can put myself in a good position and get a free education, get a scholarship, play football, and then see how I do there. And see if that takes me to the next part of my dream where I want to play in the NFL.
David, you had offers, and I think UB offered you, right?
UB did offer me, and Turner Gill was the head coach at the time, and things was a little unstable there, him going to Kansas, and then it was, like, up in the air with me. And then Toledo, they stuck with me through the whole recruiting process, and I'm happy I chose Toledo.
What do you think of the MAC as a conference that produces – NFL players? There's some pretty good players. You played against them. You played with some of them at Toledo.
There's a great lot of guys out there that's NFL prospects, and probably top first five picks in Khalil Mack, one of the best prospects, one of the best outside linebackers, defensive ends. I think the Mack conference in all is a great conference, and so have some big wins against Big Ten conferences. We have some big wins in Big East or ACC, wherever the case may be. But I think the MAC is a conference that should be taken seriously. And it just shows that they can compete anywhere at any conference at any time.
We were disappointed when we came down here this week that Khalil Mack was not here because, you know, it was a good story.
Yeah.
You might feel differently. You might think, I'm glad Khalil Mack's not there. I don't have to take hits from him or worry about picking him up in pass protection.
Oh, no, that's not it at all. You know, I want the best of the best here. You know, that just raises the competition and only brings out the best athlete in you at all times. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he has a great reason to not be here, or him and his agent talked about it, or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's still a lot of great talent here, yeah. And we're just out here competing each day.
David, when you had the one practice today. When you're out there around big school guys, big conference guys, bigger than the MAC, do you see a difference, or do you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, you got to prove something coming from Toledo, coming from the Mid-American Conference?
Yeah, I think I do have a little chip on my shoulder coming from a smaller school. But, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to catch somebody's eye. You know, it only takes one team to fall in love with you, you know. So I'm just going to be out there busting my tail every day and just doing the best I can.
Did you grow up as a Buffalo Bills fan?
I did grow up as a Buffalo Bills fan. Still a Buffalo Bills fan. But
sound like you're wavering a little bit.
No, not wavering. Just wait until we get to that next point, start making some playoff runs, you know, stuff like that.
We all are. All of us here, as a matter of fact, are waiting for that. I read a great story about you. I guess you were on your bye week last October. You came home to Lockport for homecoming, right?
Oh, yeah, I did come home, and just trying to go back and go back to the community and just show my face, because I want all the younger kids and the youth out there to see me and be around me and just know if you work hard at your dream or whatever it may be and just work hard, you know, you can get there.
Well, we're very happy to have you here tonight. We'll see you over there at practice tomorrow. I know you got a place to be tonight. But thank you very much, David. Good luck to you this week.
All right, thank you.
David Flewellen, Lockport's own, the pride of Lockport High School, who is here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, talking to us, sitting down with us. He's on the North squad. We did not get a chance to go over to the North practice today, but we will tomorrow get a chance to watch David Flewellen as he makes his attempt to jump on an NFL roster. Pretty good story, I think. It's always good to have the local guys here. Last year we had J.C. Tretter from Akron, New York, who got drafted by the Green Bay Packers and got hurt, I think, in the first day or the first practice of training camp. So it's good to have a local angle here, and a pretty good player, as I said, in David Flewellen. We are live here, by the way, is the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. That's where we are with the John Murphy Show. We're here with live radio tonight and again on Wednesday. Had a chance to talk to prospects today and kept our eye on the receivers, including Jordan Matthews, a pretty intriguing prospect who's on the South squad. He is a 6'3" tall, 206-pound Vanderbilt receiver. Very athletic, had 201 catches over the last couple of years. All-time leader with 262 career catches in the SEC. 112 catches for Vanderbilt last year, 7 of them for touchdowns. Had a chance to talk with Jordan Matthews today after the South practice ended and got his thoughts on how his first practice went.
What did you think about what you kind of put out there today?
You know, I thought it was all right. The biggest thing, I was just glad everybody could see how I compete. My effort, there's some plays though I still left out there that I got to get better at, but that just comes with getting comfortable. Quarterbacks played great, man. Fails, Carr, all those guys, man, you can tell why they're here at the Senior Bowl. Some great guys, high character. We'll get some work in the film room tonight. There's some hard workers. I like them all.
Jordan, there are a lot of juniors that are coming receiver-wise and also some good players, but how much do you feel like, hey, I'm going to do my thing and show that a senior receiver yourself and do something and make an impression with this draft?
Yeah, there are a lot of great juniors out there. I mean, from Lee, Evans, Watkins, yeah, Robinson down to Cooks, man. There's a lot of great guys. All those guys deserve that recognition. You know, I just feel like this is an opportunity for me to go out here and compete and show I am as a football player. This is a good time for me to go out here, give great effort, and then start working on my football skills, and I can go compete with them, you know, once the scouting combines and all the pro days come.
Hey, Jordan, it looked like you and Derek already are getting to work on trying to get some chemistry going, and that's really the challenge of a short week like this, isn't it?
It's kind of a challenge, but when you have great quarterbacks like that, it's not as hard as just all about throwing extra. I was able to get work with David out in Arizona, too, so I got an extra work with him because we were training at the same facility at API, so it's been going good. I'm going to keep having those guys, you know, afterwards just throwing, trying to get that chemistry up so we can have a good game Saturday.
Did you ask for a video of the corners you'd be going up against this week?
Yes, sir, I did. Mr. Savage was trying to send me in, but it didn't fall through. But there were some cut-ups online. I think draftbreakdown.com had some of all the guys over here. So I was able to watch a little bit, see some of their tendencies. There's some great guys out here. Colvin from Oklahoma, that's a very talented corner. I was glad I got to go against him. And, of course, Davis. Very good return man, also a real physical corner. So all those guys are great.
Jordan, as an all-around receiver, how much do you think you could fit in with the team? And do you feel like the Ravens could be a fit for you?
You know, I'm not going to say any specific teams. You know, I think I can fit in with anybody. I'm just going to go out there, work, know my role, and just play my hardest.
That's Jordan Matthews, wide receiver from Vanderbilt. We got a line out to that guy, too, and see if we can nail him down for the show as we are here all week, Monday and Wednesday night with live radio. Pretty good-looking prospect, I would think. 6'3", 206 pounds. He's been compared to Reggie Wayne of the Colts. You don't know if he's got, you know, top-end stopwatch speed, but good size, good hands, made a spectacular catch on the near sidelines of a pass from the quarterback you talked about, Derek Carr. You may know that name. Derek Carr's brother, of course, was the former first overall pick, David Carr, from the Houston Texans back in 2002. To me, he was one of the big standouts today in the South practice that we watched. Fresno State quarterback who just seemed to have the ball coming out of his hands on time, in the right place, at the right time, looked mobile enough. I thought he was one of the standouts. We've got a lot to talk about, and we're here all week. We want to invite you to join us as well. Phone lines open at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show on our first night of broadcasting from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. And again, our thanks to David Flewellen, the lock coordinator, for joining us in the last couple of minutes here. When we come back, we'll talk with Bills head coach Doug Marrone, his thoughts on the reshuffling and his coaching staff and possible more disruption in the coaching staff depending on what happens with Mike Patton, his thoughts on the Senior Bowl, and his thoughts on what the Bills are looking at as they head into the offseason. Head coach Doug Marrone when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And joining us, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Marrone. Your second year here as a head coach. It's a pretty good routine for you, I would think, to get down here this time of year.
You know, obviously, as an assistant coach, I was here a couple of times. So, you know, it is. It's a routine where, you know, we're part of the process. And I think as coaches, we, you know, we appreciate that. We get a chance to get around all of our scouts, you know, get a chance to talk to them and, you know, what they've seen on the road. And, you know, we get a chance to look at some of these players and we have the opportunity to write some reports on them.
Just an update on some of the issues that are hanging out here this week. First of all, with Mike Patton, your defensive coordinator now, apparently going back for a second interview with the Cleveland Browns. You're probably waiting like everybody else to see how that plays out.
You know, well, obviously, you know, it's a waiting situation right now. But, you know, credit to Mike. He's done a great job, you know, even prior to coming, you know, to Buffalo. So one thing about the NFL is that when, you know, when you've done a good job like Mike has, and he's done an excellent job for us, you're going to get recognized in this profession. And I think, you know, Mike having the ability to go and interview for a head coaching job is something that he's, you know, put a lot of work in, and it's something that he deserves. You know, obviously for us, you know, I've talked, you know, obviously with Russ and Doug, and we've sat down and, you know, we've had talks and, you know, how to, you know, get ready, plans ready, you know, in case this happens. These things in this league happen quick. You know, we're prepared to act on them, and hopefully, you know, Mike gets what's best for him. And if Mike stays, then you know, we go back to work for 2014.
You're kind of working on Cleveland's timetable on this. Does that make it more difficult?
It does, and because of the rules of the league, obviously, you cannot deny anyone permission to speak to anyone that would like to be a head coach. You can't. Not that we would, but anyway, you can't put a timetable on them and say, hey, listen, you can talk to our guy, but you only have a certain amount of time, you know. So, you know, really it's the ball's in their court.
What about the rest of your staff? You added a defensive assistant last week. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you have the ability to, you know, obviously with the how volatile this league is, I think when you can go get a coach that, you know, you admire, that's a good young football coach that's up and coming, you know, I think you go ahead and do that. And that's what we did. And, you know, we brought Jeff on as a, you know, right now as a defensive assistant until, you know, we know the direction that, you know, that we're going.
You still have an opening for a receivers coach. I assume you've talked to people about that.
Yes, you know, we started the interview process back in Buffalo. I think, you know, here we'll continue that process. It's a little bit easier here, considering most of the coaches are down here. So, you know, we're going through that, you know, two interviews a day, you know, talking to people. And I think it's an important position for us. You know, we have a veteran receiver in Stevie Johnson. We have a very young room with a lot of talent in it. So we have to make sure that we get the right person in that room.
And finally, Coach, is there a chance you would add a quarterback coach to your offensive staff?
Most definitely. I think that, you know, we've talked about this, you know, with Nathaniel, that, you know, last year, obviously, we weren't planning on a veteran quarterback getting injured and Kevin Cobb being injured. In doing so, you know, put a lot of pressure. You know, it's very difficult to be the offensive coordinator, get everything in place, and get three quarterbacks eventually ready to play. Nathaniel did an outstanding job of that. I don't know if I would wish that upon maybe my worst enemy, you know, in our profession. Nathaniel's capable of doing everything himself, but I think it's my responsibility to bring someone in to help us and help us with that position.
So those are interviews that might be going on here at Mobile as well?
Yes.
Coach, we're with Coach Doug Marone, by the way. We're at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. What's a typical day like for you here in Mobile as you do those interviews you talked about and also take a look at some of these prospects?
Well, obviously, you know, today we had the weigh-in, you know, and it's just a height, weight, and, you know, and get a chance to look at the players. I think what's most important is to watch how they interact with each other, watch how they, you know, challenge each other, their competitiveness when they go out there on the field, and you get a chance to watch them live in practice. And that's something that, you know, we as coaches don't have the ability to do during the course of our season. So for us, it's the first time to really get a good glimpse, to get a quick report, a quick glimpse at them. You know, we've heard a lot of things about these players, but basically those are things that we've just read. Now we get a chance to see them for ourselves and do our own write-ups.
How close can you follow these college players while you're in the middle of coaching an NFL team? I would imagine it's pretty difficult to keep your eye on the college game and some of the NFL prospects.
I think that's why, you know, you have Doug Whaley and Jim Monos and, you know, that we have a whole scouting department, and this is really their time, you know. And again, you know, teams do it quite different, you know. Some coaches are not involved in the process at all. Some coaches are heavily involved. You know, for us, you know, we're just part of, you know, the information collection, where we have the ability to write a report, where we do have a voice that contributes, you know, to the draft, so that, you know, Doug, along with the scouts, can make the best decision, you know, for our organization.
I know you have Doug Whaley and his senior scouting staff in-house throughout the course of the year, but is this really the first time you get FaceTime with the area scouts, the guys who are out there looking for players?
We do. I mean, those guys are all over the place, you know, trying to, you know, they're going around the country and, you know, every school, you know, in all those different areas. So, you know, we really don't see them quite a bit during the year, so it's always good to get back together and see a familiar face.
You mentioned you had the weigh-ins this morning, Monday morning. What do you look for there? Is there anything you can pick up from that?
Well, the one thing, I just look at body type and just say, okay, this guy looks like he can put on weight, or what type of frame he has, or, you know, muscle, things like that. Because really, that's the only thing that you can really look at. You know, you're looking at hand size, arm length, you know, things like that. Those are the hard numbers that you get. And, you know, in every position, you know, we as coaches, we have some, you know, ideal characteristics that we're looking for. We also get a chance to sit down with them really for the first time and talk with them. So, you know, that's always intriguing, especially now early on. This is early in this process. You know, we got the combine coming up later on, but, you know, at least it gives us a first glimpse of, you know, the top players.
When you get to the practices later on in the day and later on this week, well, first of all, do you find your eye kind of wandering over to the offensive lineman by force of habit?
Well, I do, and obviously that's, you know, my background. But, you know, I'll sit with Doug, and I'll want to look at a couple of people and just, you know, talk to him. Who should I look at and get some reports on those players.
And how do you watch players? I mean, what drills for, like, say, quarterbacks, receivers, what drills are most important to you?
I like to concentrate on one position. I think it's difficult, at least for me, to kind of watch a whole practice and try to come out there with any – kind of, you know, opinion about anything. So I'll stick with one group and watch them the whole time, from, you know, how they walk onto the field to how they approach individual, how they take direction from the coaches that are out there, their effort, what they're doing when the coach isn't looking. You know, I'll watch them, you know, the whole entire practice.
So you're saying you can get a sense of practice habits from body language and the way they respond to how they're being directed?
Those are the things that I look at. I really do. I've always appreciated being on the field. When I was at the combine, you know, I always worked with those players on the field. Those are the things I was looking at. I thought it gave me a little bit greater insight to maybe what I can't read from a report. So those are the things that I look for.
And you mentioned the nighttime interviews you have with players. Are they different at all from what you do at the combine? Is there more time here to do those interviews than you'll get in Indianapolis?
Well, you can in some regards. They have positions at night, and it's like they run it like Indianapolis, you know, where they have a horn that blows. You have a certain amount of time. But the other players that aren't involved, you get a chance to sit down with probably a little bit longer. The thing I like about it, about doing them now, is you get a good sense of where they are now and then where they're going to be when you get to Indy. You know, a lot of times in this profession, a lot of these players now are for lack of a better term, schooled up, you know, on how to present themselves and how to talk. And, you know, what you want to do is you're really just trying to find out who they are. And I think the more times that you have contact with them, the more you can see.
Talking with head coach Doug Marone, the John Murphy Show from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl. Do you recall your impressions of E.J. Manuel a year ago at this time here at the Senior Bowl, both on the practice field and maybe in meetings that you had with him?
I do. I you know, obviously, you know, having been around another draft-eligible quarterback for 4 years and Ryan Nassib, you know, we had a lot of, you know, characteristics that you know, we felt that were important, you know. And obviously, you know, Ryan had did a great job for us. And then, you know, my background, having been around, you know, Vinny Testaverde, Chad Pennington, and, you know, also Drew Brees, and just what they're like, you know, is something that, you know, is an important part of what you're looking for in the quarterback. You know, and I just never forget that the first time we were down here and we met EJ, and he came in, and we just, you know, had some pleasantries and just, you know, hello, and sat down and talked a little bit. Really didn't have a lot of time. You know, I remember calling up to Nathaniel and saying, hey, when you meet this kid, he makes an impression. And I said, I can't wait for you to meet him. Nathaniel obviously wasn't down here last year, but I said, when you meet him, I said, he has that it factor.
You came here last year. I think a lot of us came here last year from the Bills looking at the quarterbacks. This year, is there one or two or three position groups that you kind of have your focus on as you approach these prospects?
I think that, you know, with where our team is right now, and Doug would be better answer this question, that we can go into this thing and try to really find, you know, who the best players are available, and really just take the best players available to make us a better team, no matter what position it is. I don't think that we're going in there saying we need this or have to get this. And I think when you do that, sometimes, in my opinion, you know, you can go ahead and reach, and I don't think we're in that position at all.
What do you think of this group here? Are there any position groups that you're interested in seeing that might have a little bit more talent than others?
Well, I'm an offensive coach. No, but I think, you know, I think it'll be interesting today. I think, you know, you always come across, I think there's always someone that surprises you, you know, that maybe wasn't on your radar that becomes on your radar. And then, you know, there's also other expectations of some other players that all of a sudden you walk out of here in Mobile and you're like, well, you know, I thought it would be better. So, and I think that happens in everything that we do, especially for us as coaches.
Do you come here or go into this personnel time of the year looking for a big wide receiver, like a red zone target type wide receiver?
We have discussions, and I appreciate what, you know, Doug does, and we talk about it on a daily basis. So, you know, for me, we're just trying to get the best players for our team. You know, we're part of this process as evaluating talent, and like I said before, but make no mistake about it, you know my job is to get this team ready to play, and my goal right now is, you know, working on the things that we weren't good at last year, getting all those things done, getting the coaches focused on our team, contributing, you know, to the draft and contributing to the unrestricted free agency that happens, you know. But other than that, our focus is on this football team and winning football games with the players we have now.
And as far as the process is concerned, this is an early part of the process, isn't it? There's a long way to go between now and May 8th, and people's stock is going to rise and fall. There'll be plenty of opinions between now and May 8th.
Well, there will be. And when I say, you know, it's the early part of the process for us as coaches, right. It's a process that's been going on for these scouts, you know, from when we started training camp. So for us, you know, those guys have been putting a lot of work in. And, and here we come in off the season. So, you know, it's early for us, but, you know, there's people that have been putting in a lot of work.
Coach, the way the Buffalo Bills structure it, do you bring coaches with you here? And this is, or is this scouts time? Do you mostly focus on the scouts with these players?
It's mostly the scouts. We have our coordinators here, you know, just to evaluate, you know, certain things, to sit in on the interviews, to get a feel. But again, I really think that this is a time, you know, for the scouts. They know more right now than anyone. You know, they've been around the country. They've seen a lot of these players. You know, we've been focused on a season. So for us, you know, we're kind of catching up a little bit just to see what's out there. And again, you know, we'll look at the, you know, whatever Doug needs us to do to write reports and evaluate talent. You know, we appreciate that part of it.
I passed one of your scouts, Jim Manos, in the hallway last week, and he said to him the Senior Bowl is like New Year's. It's the unofficial start of the new season. It's almost like you turn the page this week at the Senior Bowl and start looking to 2014.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, you're always gathering information, but I think, you know, from this point on, what you do, I think you said it before, you know, people's stock will rise and fall, and I think this is the time frame when all that happens. So, you know, I think it started, you know, last week with a couple of those other All-Star games, and, you know, obviously, you know, Mobile's the big one, and then I think from now and all the way until the draft, it's a crazy part of this profession.
Coach, thanks for this. Good luck this week.
Thank you, Murph.
Head Coach Doug Marone, our guest, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from Mobile, Alabama, the site of the Senior Bowl.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
A long and wide-ranging discussion with head coach Doug Marone, and hope you enjoyed that. We'll get back to more of the issues he discussed there as we continue on. We are live from Mobile, Alabama. We're at the Renaissance Riverfront Hotel, Riverview Hotel in downtown Mobile, Alabama. Here all week for coverage of the Senior Bowl. You can see our work at BuffaloBills.com. You can, if you miss portions of this show, including head coach Doug Marone, you can go to BuffaloBills.com and pick it up there. News from back in Buffalo, though, actually. The Bills just announcing moments ago that Marcell Dareus has been named to the 2014 Pro Bowl. He is an injury replacement for 49ers defensive lineman Justin Smith. It's going to be the first Pro Bowl appearance for Marcell Dareus. 7.5 sacks, career high this past year. 71 tackles, career high for that. In his third year in the NFL, he was one of just 5 players in the league to have at least 70 tackles and 7 sacks this season. Marcell Dareus going to the Pro Bowl. An injury replacement just announced moments ago by the Buffalo Bills. We are efforting, trying to get Marcell Dareus on the show. But I'm thinking he's got to probably have some pretty quick travel arrangements to be made here. He's got to go from his home in Alabama all the way out west to Hawaii. When he gets there, he'll join his fellow line mates, Mario Williams and Kyle Williams, already named to the Pro Bowl, selected back in December, and Jairus Byrd, actually, also named to the Pro Bowl. So Marcell Dareus going to the Pro Bowl as an injury replacement. So that puts 4 Buffalo Bills, all of them on the defensive side of the ball, in the Pro Bowl. Wonder if that has any weight with Mike Pettine. You know, he's got 4 Pro Bowlers to coach if he stays with the Buffalo Bills. That situation still very much in flux, as you know, and we've talked about it with a number of people here, the NFL people here. Sources close to Pettine told us a couple of hours ago that he had not had another interview with the Cleveland Browns yet, that he was waiting to hear whether that interview might be scheduled, waiting to hear tonight, as a matter of fact, that if that interview might be scheduled. We believe that he is very interested in pursuing the opportunity, and why wouldn't he be? It's a great opportunity to be a head coach, even though I'm sure he has some thoughts on what he would be forced to leave behind here in Buffalo, including now four Pro Bowlers on the roster and a roster that has a lot of talent, a roster that, quite frankly, is just getting started, I think. It would be definitely unfinished business, but he is definitely interested in the opportunity if he gets it. And you heard what Coach Marrone said, a waiting situation. Here's the problem, it seems to me, and Marrone addressed it. I said, this is tough, right? You're really working with Cleveland's timetable. I mean, in the Bills' mind, they'd love to get the coaching staff set. They'd like to have it done by the end of the week, I'm sure, with receivers coach and the quarterbacks coach that Marrone talked about. But now with the possibility that they may lose their defensive coordinator, clearly you're working with Cleveland's timetable. And Cleveland is the last one to go, last one to hire a head coach. Marrone said that's because of the rules of the league. You can't deny people permission to speak to anyone that wants to be a head coach. So you can't put a timetable on Cleveland. What is Cleveland's timetable? You wonder about that. Adam Gase, the coordinator, the offensive guy in Denver, is that really who they're waiting for? Now he's 2 weeks away with the Super Bowl. Can they wait that long? I don't know. I don't know if they can wait that long. We'll find out. I think we're going to have resolution on at least the patent component of this probably in the next day or two. I really do. Probably in the next day or two. Let's see if we can squeeze in a call from Pete in Lancaster. Hello, Pete. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. I saw a mock draft over the weekend, and they had Khalil Mack coming to the Bills. Any thoughts on Khalil Mack?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good thoughts, positive thoughts. He's a very, very talented guy. I'm disappointed from a personal standpoint that he's not here at the Senior Bowl. We don't get a chance to see him, you know, up close and personal, working against big school guys, working against, you know, high-caliber draft prospects. But certainly with his burst and his acceleration, you know, everybody's going to be into Khalil Mack. He is projected to be a top-10 pick, at least. I think everybody has him as a top-10 pick. Here's the question as far as the Bills are concerned. Do they need that with an early pick? Do they need another edge pass rusher? Because I believe that's basically what you're going to get with Khalil Mack, a guy coming off the edge very quickly. They have Mario Williams. They have Jerry Hughes, who had a pretty solid year, his best year as a pro. I mean, you always need pressure, obviously, but it's not really the Bills' pressing need going into the draft. They have other needs, I think, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But if he's there with his record and with Khalil Mack's record of production at Buffalo and with his potential, I think they're going to have to give it some consideration. No question about that. We've got time for more phone calls after the top of the hour on anything you have heard tonight, including Doug Marrone and his thoughts on where the Bills are with their coaching staff, his thoughts on the Senior Bowl, some of the Senior Bowl talent here, or your thoughts on the news that Marcell Dareus is going to be headed to the Pro Bowl. What do you think about the quarterback coach? They're going to hire a quarterback coach. What kind of a quarterback coach should they hire? Phone lines open when we return. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone.
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this week we are live at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. A beautiful day here, sunny, 63 degrees. Not trying to rub it in, but a long day for us here as we got to work. Head coach Doug Marrone sat down with us. You heard that interview in the first hour. Had a chance to look at the South team and their practice today. Tomorrow we'll get a look at the North and the South. But we want to hear from you. Coaching news in the air here in Mobile, Alabama. Some of it involving the Buffalo Bills. Who would think 3 weeks after the season ended that there would be uncertainty about the Bills' coaching situation? I'll be honest, I did not. The patent thing kind of snuck up on me. I thought after a period of a week, maybe 10 days when the season ended, I'll be honest, when the season ended, I mentioned to a couple people, do you think Patton will get a sniff at some of these jobs? And then most of the jobs were filled. Cleveland was still out there. Patton was still with the Bills. And I'm surprised that it is up in the news again today. That'd be tough. It'd be a tough one to absorb for the Bills to replace Mike Patton. We want your thoughts on that. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. A tweet from Joe who says, what about the Bills going after Jim Haslett if Patton leaves? Jim Haslett is re-signed with the Washington Redskins. He's going to stay there and work with the new head coach there, Jay Gruden. In fact, I saw Jim Haslett on the sidelines at the South practice today, and he said he's good. It was a very brief conversation. I said, you good? He said, I'm good. I'm staying where I am. Love this team. Love the guys I work with. He's good. He's a fine defensive coordinator. He really is. You have so many conversations. Who was I just talking to about Haslett today? I can't remember who it was, who mentioned how he's old school. Oh, I know who it was. It was an ex-general manager who will remain nameless, not Bills, who said Haslett is old school. He's perfect for today's NFL. He's an old school coach. Players respond to him. Owners like having him around. Coaches with their head on straight like having him around. But Haslett is unavailable to the Bills if Mike Patton leaves. What would you think of that? If Patton left, what should the Bills do? And will he take some staff members with him? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number. There's also the offensive side of the ball. Some holes there for the Bills. They have the receivers position open. You heard Doug Marrone talk about doing the interview, some of the interviews down here at the Senior Bowl. I believe they did interviews in Orchard Park last week. And they're going to hire a quarterback coach, which I think is welcome news to a lot of Bills fans. That's a concept that about two-thirds of the way into last season, the 2013 season, we started talking about that on the radio show, how I thought that would be a good idea. Not to slight Nate Hackett, but he just had a lot on his plate. And the kind of individual instruction that E.J. Manuel would benefit from, footwork, timing, placement, all the minutiae of the position, it'd probably be hard for Nathaniel Hackett to do that while he's overseeing the entire design of the offense and concerned with the game plan. So now they are actively seeking a quarterback coach. I think it's a great development. You can ring us up and talk about that if you'd like as well. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Comedy Alive this week from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Let's take a call from Butch on the east side. Hello, Butch. You're on the air.
Murph, thanks for taking my call, and I hope you enjoy yourself down at Mobile. My daughter's down at USA down there, so.
Oh, it's beautiful down here.
It's beautiful down there in Mobile. Hey, Murph, a couple things. I'm excited, number one, about Doug Marrone finally saying that they are going to hire a quarterback coach. And, yeah, I've been on the record already saying, you know, at one time, you know, I wanted Hugh Jackson here, but Hugh took the offensive coordinator job at Cincinnati, so he's off the plate. But my guy is Kyle Shanahan. You know what I mean? Kyle's been rumored to go for the interview for a lot of places and OC jobs around the league, but he's been at two places as an OC. He knows the quarterbacks. He also is young, 34 years old. He can help out Hackett, and not only help him out, this is with the quarterback, but just help him out with an offensive scheme. Here we paying Mario Williams $100 million, and I know Ralph Wilson want to get something on return for his money, and we don't have time to really wait for someone to learn how to be an OC or how to design plays. As you said earlier, he had a lot on his plate, and he did. He had to learn how to call plays in NFL. He had to learn schemes and so on and so on. So I would like to see Kyle Shanahan. Also, Murph, you know, the rumor has been AVP. Well, it's a possibility he might come as a quarterback coach. Either one. It was, you know, AVP, when he was here, he was OC. He was on the job training too as an OC, and he had his rough ride, you know, but he's been around and been in the league for a while, been under McCarthy. He knows, he's been around some good coaches, and he knows it too. But my first preference will be try to get Kyle Shanahan in here. Now, my replacement, Murphy, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of your show. If Patton do decide to take the job, which, you know, I'll be happy for him, but I won't be happy for our team, is that a guy, Ray Horton's off the table, but now I look at Raheem Morris. You know what I mean? Raheem Morris is a young guy who was a head coach of Tampa Bay, been with Haslett on the team over at D.C., and I just think he really can really come here and keep it flowing with what Patton already did. But, Murph, my guy is Kyle Shanahan, and I just want to hear your thoughts on it.
Before you go, yes, Butch, sir. Where is Raheem Morris? I know he was on somebody's staff last year.
Yeah, he was with Washington. He was the secondary coach.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay.
With Washington, and then when the new coaching regime, everybody got fired.
Right.
You know, he's in limbo with Haslett, but Haslett just signed, so I don't know if Gruden's going to bring Raheem back. But you know, Raheem could love to get the promotion to go to D.C. from secondary coach. So he was with the Redskins last year, Murph.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah. I don't know about Kyle. I don't know about Kyle Shanahan. I don't know. I don't know that aside from working in, with his dad, I don't know what he's done. You know, I don't know what he's accomplished. And, you know, I think EJ as a young quarterback is a guy who is really in need of some hands-on instruction about mechanics and about everything that goes with playing the position. Kyle Shanahan has experience as a designer of offenses. He has experience as a guy who, you know, has put game plans together, and that's not what the Bills need. They need a quarterback-specific coach. They've got the offensive mind with, you know, with Nathaniel Hackett right now. They've got a guy who knows exactly what they want to do offensively, by the way. I don't think you need competing interest in there. I don't think you need somebody with a different thought of what the offense should look like or how the offense should work. I just think I'd like to see somebody who's more of a hands-on quarterback-specific quarterback mechanics coach working with EJ Manuel. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. And the Pettine situation is going to be interesting as well. I mean, again, people close to the situation in Cleveland assured me as recently as an hour ago that Adam Gase, the Broncos' defensive or offensive coordinator, is their guy. And they're willing to wait a little while longer. And Gase, you know, they might have to wait until after the Super Bowl. He might be waiting to see how the Super Bowl goes and whether Peyton Manning is going to stick around. Can it all drag out that long? You would think. Here's what I think from the Bills' perspective with Mike Pettine. You know, they're being patient. Everybody wants Pettine. Everybody wants to be fair to Pettine and let him have his shot. But from the Bills' perspective, I don't think it would be unfair for the Bills to politely, quietly, and maybe this has already gone on, get a message to the Cleveland Browns saying, if you're interested in our guy, please make up your mind because the clock is ticking and viable candidates are, most of them are gone for the kind of vacancies we're talking about defensive coordinator. Again, I said this last week. Think about how quickly Doug Marrone moved when he got his job last year to hire Mike Pettine. It was a matter of hours when he flew down to New York, New Jersey area to talk with Mike Pettine. And now here they are, unable to, I mean, you heard Marrone say they're, you know, ready to act if Pettine leaves, but they're unable to pull the trigger on anybody. They're essentially being held hostage by the Browns. And Browns aren't doing it on purpose. They need a head coach. But I don't think it would be out of line for the Bills to get a message informally maybe to the Cleveland Browns and say, hey, what do you think? Middle of this week, can you make up your mind? I mean, you don't have to hire a coach, but make up your mind on whether our guy is your guy. And I get, you know, the rules say you got to let coaches interview. I get that. And nobody wants to stand in the way of Mike Pettine advancing himself or getting his dream job, if that's it. But I think it's reasonable that by the middle of this week, maybe Thursday, let's say, the Bills at least have a sense from the Browns as to whether Mike Pettine is going to be the guy. All right, phone lines are open. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, 803-0550. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. If you just tuned in, we had a good conversation with head coach Doug Marrone in the first hour. We'll play some portions of that as the evening moves along. We also had a good conversation with David Flewellen, Lockport native, who is here at the Senior Bowl trying to show his wares for the NFL scouts who are here. One of the guys who was on the sideline today, pretty fair running back, the Bills' own C.J. Spiller. He was here on the sidelines watching the South practice. I said to him, C.J., I'm surprised to see you here. And he goes, I'm kind of surprised to see you here. But we had a chance to talk with C.J. Spiller and asked him initially what he was doing here at the Senior Bowl.
At the Senior Bowl, and who do we find here but running back C.J. Spiller, Buffalo Bills running back C.J. Spiller. What are you doing here, C.J.?
Oh, no, I'm just looking at talent. Nah, I came down here with Coach Swinney. He came down to watch Taj and Brendan Thompson, so I just came with the ride along pretty much.
Were you here as a when you came out of Clemson?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't come here to the game. Early. Yeah, I didn't come. Decided to rest my foot. So, but it seemed like this is a nice little event that they put on.
What, as a player, and you're just coming off a long season, what do you look at when you come out here to practice like this?
Oh, I mean, you just see guys that's really focused and that's really determined, guys that's really going hard and that's excited to be here. So, them the guys that you pretty much want, you know, guys that's not going to, you know, take it easy.
I was talking to Coach Marrone earlier today about how the Senior Bowl sort of is the official way to turn the page from one year to the next. It feels like it's the start of a new season almost.
It is. You know, this is a dream come true for a lot of these guys. And, you know, today's just week could just be a beginning. So they pretty much, the biggest thing, they just put out great tape because it's going to be access to every team. in the NFL and every personnel. So the biggest thing you can do as an individual is just go out here and just perform well.
You're pretty close, I know, with Coach Sweeney, the fact that he comes down here with his players. What does that say about him and about that Clemson program?
Well, just the ways that he's trying to grow it. You know, he wants that connection. He wants so that he continues to support you once you leave. You know, and you know, I've known Coach Sweeney since 2006, and, you know, he's been the same guy ever since.
CJ, last question. When we last saw you, you know, you gutted it through the season with your high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. I would imagine the last 3 weeks have been really kind of staying off that ankle.
Yeah, it's been very beneficial. I've been staying off it, pretty much just been relaxing with family and enjoying this time, watching a bunch of movies. So it's definitely going in the right direction that I thought it would be.
What good movies have you seen?
I went and seen Ride Along the other night, it was pretty funny.
Okay. Thanks, CJ. Good to see you.
Thank you, John.
Running back C.J. Spiller, good news, I think, just staying off his ankle for the last 3 weeks. Has it only been 3 weeks since the season ended? Staying off the ankle, watching movies, relaxing, and trying to heal up the 3 weeks, and he never really got a chance. What do you have? The most he was off the ankle was probably 10 days. I think he missed the New Orleans game, and you know, that was the only time when they really had an opportunity to give him time off to heal his injured ankle. But C.J. Spiller down here on the sideline, sort of incognito, big Clemson baseball cap, following around his head coach, Dabo Sweeney, as he watched the workouts, the South workouts today. As far as we watched the South workouts as well, and I don't know, there weren't a whole lot of big plays. There were a couple of plays. I thought Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State, was one of the best performers that we saw on the field. Probably a first-round draft pick, too. 6'3", 218-pounder. You know his brother, David Carr, was a first-round draft pick, first overall pick in 2002 with Houston. His brother, Darren, played defensive line at the University of Houston. He wears number 4 here. He wore number 4 at Fresno State because of his admiration for Brett Favre. And I thought Derek Carr threw the ball well, moved around well today, and did a pretty good job. The other quarterback, an interesting prospect on the South team we watched, was Jimmy Garoppolo from Eastern Illinois. The guy just got off the plane from the East-West Shrine game last week. Had a really solid game at the East-West Shrine game. And flew here immediately. And he was the second quarterback through the rotation in today's practice for the South team, and I thought he did a pretty good job. Maybe not quite as good as Derek Carr, but threw the ball well, seemed to have a quick release on the ball. Not a particularly strong arm, but a pretty good release. You know, a first-team All-American at Eastern Illinois, which is football championship subdivision, but a starter all 4 years there and going to get a tremendous opportunity here to show what he can do. So we'll see. We'll have another look at him as the week goes along. The other standouts for the South team that we saw were Jordan Matthews, the receiver. You just heard from him last hour, the Vanderbilt wide receiver. I thought another receiver, Kevin Norwood of Alabama, had some pretty good moments for the South team today and the workouts that we saw. What else? I go through the whole list of the you know what looked good to me was Christian Jones, a linebacker from Florida State. You probably saw him just, 2 weeks ago tonight, right, for the BCS championship game. I thought he looked really good, 6'4", 235-pounder. Really looked, he looked skinny. I mean, he didn't look, would he hold up playing as a edge guy in the NFL? I don't know. When you look at him, I don't know. It didn't look like he would, but pretty talented player, I thought, Christian Jones. So just some of the standouts from the afternoon workouts that we had today here at the Senior Bowl in Alabama. Alabama, by the way, is the home state of the newest member of the 2014 Pro Bowl team, and he is live on the line with us right now, Marcel Darius. Congratulations, Marcel.
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you.
Hey,
thank
good. You. Where are you? You home? Where are you? Up in Birmingham or where are you?
I'm in Birmingham right now. I'm actually I'm at Bass Pro right now.
Yeah, you're getting calls. What's the quickest way you can get to Honolulu from Birmingham, and when do you leave?
I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be there around 3 o'clock ready for meetings.
Meetings and then get ready to play the game. What's this mean to you, Marcel, to be named to the Pro Bowl? What does that mean for you, first time for you?
Oh, my God. I can't even, words can't express how I feel about the whole thing right now. It just seems like it's happening so fast. I feel like it's happening a little too fast. I'm just trying to grab myself.
Did you have a thought that might happen? You had to know you were close when the Pro Bowl votes came out at the end of December. Did you have a feeling that this could happen? Were you kind of on standby to get ready to go?
Yeah, my agent, he contacted me and said, Marcel, just be prepared just in case anything happened tonight. You may be sliding into it, so into the Pro Bowl. Just wait and see what the outcome is.
And
so just kind of sit, me and my family, we just going to stand by and just wait it. I mean, it's a great feeling. I really can't even, I can't even explain right now.
Marcel, what do you think it was that kind of turned it around for you this year? What was it that made this year your best year, the three you played in the league so far?
It was just more so, I just kind of just focused on mistakes myself. Just really had to focus on myself and just kind of stay into the game and not let off-field things and just things that just shouldn't really be in the way of just me playing good and being consistent. Just kind of just focus in on what I had to do and just kind of pull it out.
It kind of
talk to my brothers and sisters and just put it all together and just made it happen.
It kind of sounds like what you describe as sort of natural, maturity. You're around the league in your third year. You're a little bit, you know what to expect, a little bit readier to play maybe in your third year than in the first couple of years. Is that accurate?
I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, just to the league with Kyle Williams and Mario Williams, man, they showed me so much and just taught me how to just stay focused this year, just kind of do what you're supposed to and kind of just learn the league and watching film and breaking film down the way it's supposed to be broke down and being consistent on your work. And being with those guys is kind of, I just kind of blossomed into the player that I always wanted to be. Just got to build on it and just staying consistent and kind of staying the guy that you always want to be known as. So that's what I did, and I just kind of put it.
Marcel, what kind of difference did this new coaching staff make for you? I'm talking about in particular Coach Anthony Weaver and the defense coordinator Mike Patton.
It pretty much gave me the freedom to just do me, just Marcel, just get down there, play the game that you want to play, man. You got to just play hard, just do yourself. Patton always let us go, let the defensive line go, and we just let us get after the quarterback when we can, when we know it's a pass. And Coach Weaves, man, he's just kind of, he's like a player's coach. He's right there with us. He just left the league, just kind of showing us the ins and outs, and I just kind of soaked him up like a sponge. And we just had a great year and put it together.
What you've heard the rumors, I guess, the reports that Coach Patton has a chance maybe to be the head coach at Cleveland. What do you think of that, Marcel?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's just, I have no control over that. I really, really, really would hate to see him leave, but at the same time, we can still do business. And then football is football. We still got to go out there and just play.
When you get to Hawaii, you're going to look around on that. Actually, who knows what team, right? You got to be drafted, but at least in the initial meetings with the whole Pro Bowl crew, you're going to look around and see line mates, Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, and Jarris Bird from the backfield. It's got to be good to have four guys now from one defense out there in Hawaii for the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yes. It feels great to have four of these guys with me, man. I played with them a couple of years, and, first to go out here and play the way we did and just had a pretty good defensive year out here, just doing the best we can. It's great to see him out there. I'm happy I finally joined these guys as a new member of the Pro Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. I'm just happy as hell.
So they're going to draft for the Pro Bowl teams, Marcel. Jerry Rice for one team, Deion Sanders for the other. Who do you want picking you? Whose team do you want to play on?
I mean, it really doesn't matter to me. Whoever's going to let me go, just let me have fun.
And what do you think about playing in the game itself this coming Sunday? A lot of people making the Pro Bowl and then get to the game and say, this is not really the greatest game I've ever played in. What do you think it'll be like playing in that game on Sunday?
I honestly don't know. I really can't wait to get the experience because it's going to be pretty fun being out there with the guys that work hard as you did all year and put in the work and just kind of excited to be around them at the same time.
Last question for you, Marcel. Is this the way you saw your career going with, first-round draft pick, third overall, a couple of years in the league, and now going to Pro Bowls? And is that what you had in mind when you came out a couple of years ago?
To be totally honest with you, I thought it would have went a little bit better. But, things happen the way they do for a reason. And, I took a couple hard hits off the field. So I just had to do the best I can to bounce back and play the ball that I was supposed to be playing from the jump. And that's exactly what I'm projecting and we went and did. So I'm just happy.
We're happy for you, Marcel, and thank you very much for spending the time with us. And 6 a.m. flight, you got to head out of Hawaii. That's pretty tough, but I think you'll be all right.
Hey, I'll be up waiting for it.
Thanks, Marcel. Congratulations.
All right, no, thank you.
That's Mr. Big Stuff, Marcel Darius, on the line with us. Mr. Big Stuff is going to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. Marcel Darius in his third year in the league, 7.5 sacks, 71 tackles, both career highs for him. He's just five players in the league had at least 70 tackles and 70 sacks this season. He's going to join his linemates, Mario Williams and Kyle Williams, and his defensive teammate, Jarris Bird, out there at the Pro Bowl. I had a brief chance to talk with Mike Patton earlier today, and he indicated that he's going to head out to the Pro Bowl on Wednesday of this week. Expected to be there, he said. He was invited to go by his player, Kyle Williams. Obviously, there are things happening that might derail Mike Patton's attempt to go to Hawaii later this week, but I know he's hoping to go to Hawaii. He's probably hoping to get a head coaching job in Cleveland as well, but he said that if nothing happens, that he's going to be headed out to Hawaii as a guest of Kyle Williams. And I believe, if you remember, back in December, right before the Patriots game when the Pro Bowl announcement was made, Jarris Bird told us that day that he was going to bring out all of his defensive backfield, including head coach Donnie Henderson. We should be at the Pro Bowl. You know how many Buffalo Bills people are going to be at the Pro Bowl? Nothing against Mobile, but why aren't we at the Pro Bowl? All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We'll take more phone calls. Your thoughts on the coaching changes swirling around the Buffalo Bills. They are going to hire a quarterback coach. What kind of quarterback coach would you like to see? They may have to find a new defensive coordinator. You think that replacement is on the current staff? Where do you see this coaching staff going? How do you see it shaping up? Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We play it out with Mr. Big Stuff, the Marcel Darius theme song. More to come, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio. Thank you all, Mr. Big Stuff.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live from the Senior Bowl, Mobile, Alabama, the John Murphy Show. We are here tonight. We're back live on the radio on Wednesday night. Tomorrow night podcast. We got two practices to go to tomorrow, south and north, and we'll have all sorts of material on the podcast tomorrow, so make sure you check that out. We've also got all kinds of Senior Bowl material coming up on BuffaloBills.com. A one-on-one interview with head coach Doug Marrone, which is going up shortly on the website. We've also got a long feature on the events of the day, including highlights from the South practice today. All of that available at BuffaloBills.com. We're available on the phone if you'd like to chime in. Your thoughts on the Bills coaching situation, 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on what the Bills should look at here at the Senior Bowl. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. You can talk about the championship games, too. Did they play out the way you thought they would? I thought New England would win. I was stunned at how poor New England was offensively yesterday. And we were en route. We were flying yesterday here to Mobile, but I had a chance to watch, long highlight replays and couldn't believe, for instance, how poorly Tom Brady threw the ball early on in the game. By the time he was finally warmed up, it was too late. They were trying to play catch-up. Could not believe it, how poorly the Patriots were offensively. On the ground, I thought, based on what they did against the Bills, based on what they did in their first playoff game, I thought the Patriots had a lot more to offer on the ground with LeGarrette Blount. They got none of it done yesterday. Really surprised, and credit to the Denver Broncos for playing defense the way they did. And, of course, Manning was just superlative. And that surprised me, too. I wasn't quite sure he had a big game like that in him. But there he is, 400 yards, no turnovers, pinpoint passing, pinpoint execution of the game plan, calling the plays at the line of scrimmage like he does. Manning was just ridiculously good yesterday. Brady, much less so. So that outcome surprised me. The other game, the NFC game, got to see that start to finish. Not surprised by the outcome. I was surprised at how it played out. I mean, it was a great game to watch. There's no question about that. There was a point in the third and fourth quarters when I thought these really are a couple of quarterbacks who are young guys, not struggling, but pressing a little bit, trying to make big plays. This is the biggest game that, at least in Russell Wilson's case, the biggest game that he's been in. And Kaepernick obviously had the Super Bowl experience, but I thought both of them showed their age in that game yesterday. Defenses, I thought, were pretty solid. And, of course, the Seattle defense comes up with the biggest play of the game, that interception at the end. But a lot to like in those two games, a lot to chew on from those two games. And I think a Super Bowl really to look forward to when you look at the Broncos now and the Seattle Seahawks. I really do. I don't know. The weather is, you know, we'll see what it is. I don't think either team benefits or loses anything because of the potential for bad weather in the Super Bowl. I think, you know, the way Peyton Manning played, it's hard to bet against him. But I have a feeling, I'm not going to make a pick now, but I have a feeling that by the time the game rolls around in a week and a half, I'm going to be leaning towards Seattle again. I just think their defense has the look of a Super Bowl team. The Broncos are the favorites right now. The odds makers making it that way anyway. Denver favored by 1 point in several books in the early going. Some books have the Broncos as high as a 3-point pick over Seattle. We'll see how that plays out. It was kind of tragic at the end, towards the end yesterday, to watch Navarro Bowman of the 49ers, really rough knee injury down on the goal line. An MRI today on the 49ers linebacker, suffered a torn ACL and MCL in his left knee, according to ESPN. He'll have to have surgery to repair the ACL, but the medial collateral ligament will heal on its own. Bowman expected to be ready for the start of the season. It happened in the loss to Seattle yesterday. Two players fell into his left knee as he made a play on the goal line stand. He looked like he had a fumble recovery on the play, but the officials ruled that Marshawn Lynch came up with the ball. Navarro Bowman is just an outstanding linebacker, led the Niners with 145 tackles this past year. They say he should be ready for the start of the upcoming season. There was an ugly incident at the end of the NFC game. I mean, it was a great play from Richard Sherman as he tipped the ball to his teammate for the interception, tipped it away from Michael Crabtree into the hands of linebacker Malcolm Smith for the interception. And then in the post-game interview, of course, Richard Sherman kind of went off. A couple of things. I know that was the subject of a lot of debate on the talk shows, even the non-sports talk shows today. Richard Sherman, you can't do that, obviously. You got to collect your thoughts. But two things. There is, as you probably know, a 10-minute cooling-off period in most cases before the media talks to players. And I think that display from Richard Sherman yesterday was the reason why they have that 10-minute cooling-off period. I know that the networks, in this case Fox, wants to get immediate reaction right on the field, you know, heat of the moment, blah, blah, blah. But really, that was a situation that cried out for the 10-minute cooling-off period. Richard Sherman was just too emotional, just really, you know, not fair to the reporter and really didn't look good doing it, talking about his battle, his day-long battle with Michael Crabtree. Today, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll says he's spoken to Sherman about his controversial comments. Carroll saying on his Seattle radio show, quote, "We are not perfect. We all make mistakes. Things don't always come out exactly as we planned." Carroll said, "What would I tell my son? I speak from that perspective. Maybe players don't always want to hear it that way, but that's the best way I can communicate." It was unfortunate. There's no question. Sherman did not come off looking good. You know, his quotes about, "I'm the best corner in the game. Don't try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree. That's what you're going to get." Say that to your teammates. Say that in the locker room. Don't say it on nationally broadcast TV as the game ends. I just think it was tough. And again, the situation was crying out for the 10-minute cooling-off period. Maybe the networks have to be more judicious in who they select. Did Sherman make a big play? Absolutely. But maybe you have a sense of, you know, how hot his motor might be running in that situation, and you wait until he cools off a little bit. Commissioner Roger Goodell, some interesting things today to say about extra points. Goodell, appearing on the NFL Network, says the NFL is looking at proposals to abolish the extra point. He says the extra point is almost automatic. According to Goodell, there were 5 missed extra points out of 1,200 kicked this year. A very small fraction of the play. And this is Goodell's quote. "You want excitement with every play. One proposal in particular, automatic that you get 7 points when you score a touchdown, but you could potentially go for an 8th point, either by running the passing the ball or passing the ball. If you fail, you'll go back to 6. That might work. Automatic 7 points. If you want the extra point, the true extra point, you can either run it or pass it. And if you fail, you go back to 6. That would make extra points a lot less boring. The kick itself is pretty boring, obviously. It would make the 2-point tries very, very – well, first of all, you wonder how many coaches would do it. I mean, think of the risk-reward. You can have potentially 8 points or maybe stick to 6 points. There's no more in between if you try for it. I think that would be I think that'd be pretty interesting. I might go for that. There'd probably be some pushback, you know, from the purists about changing that rule, but it would really take one of the most boring plays out of the game, the extra point kick. I might go for that. We'll see how quickly the league moves to make a change like that. We'll see. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. The phone lines are open if you have thoughts on anything of this, the Bills and their coaching situation, the vacancies they have, their push to find a quarterback coach, and the fact that they may have to find a new defensive coordinator. Lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Working our way up to the top of the hour with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, this week live at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And all sorts of content coming up on BuffaloBills.com here from the Senior Bowl. And if you miss portions of our show, you can go to the website and listen in. Going to play a couple of sound bites from head coach Doug Marrone earlier. But talking a lot about coaching changes today and about the fact that the Bills might lose their defensive coordinator to the Cleveland Browns. The fact that the Bills publicly stated today they're interested in hiring a quarterback's coach. And, of course, they have the vacancy to fill at the wide receivers coach. Had a tweet come in about... interesting idea. Rich Fan second tweets in. Not sure if he's there, but thoughts on Jim Zorn as quarterback coach. Helped out with Matt Hasselbeck early on. I don't think Zorn is in the league right now, right? He was on the staff with Kansas City, a quarterback coach there, and then when Andy Reid took over in Kansas City, he was let go. I don't know. If he's interested, that might be interesting. He's the kind of guy I think I would like to see them hire. A veteran, experienced hand who knows the mechanics, knows the intricacies of playing quarterback. That's the kind of guy I think I would like to see him hire. But I don't know. That might be something to talk about. Doug Marrone talked about his coaching staff today and talked about Mike Pettine. We had an interview with Doug Marrone earlier today. The Bills head coach acknowledges that the Browns are talking to Mike Pettine and the Bills might lose him to the Browns.
Obviously, you know, Mike has done a great job even prior to coming to Buffalo. And obviously did a great job for us this year. And I think that, you know, we're in a profession where, you know, people are going to recognize that. So, you know, we're very happy for Mike. You know, obviously he's in a process which Cleveland controls right now. You know, and they're getting ready to make decisions. And, you know, we're there to support Mike and help him. And, you know, obviously if it goes well and he does have the opportunity to go, then obviously Doug, myself, and Russ, we've already met. And, you know, we're ready to do what we have to do for our organization.
So that's good to know. And when he says that, when Marrone says that Doug, meaning Whaley, and the group have already met. And so they have a plan in place if Patton should leave. But certainly it would be a setback if Patton could get the Cleveland job. Is he going to get it? I don't know. I think I said earlier on in the show tonight, Mike Patton, as of mid-afternoon today, mid to late afternoon, did not have a second interview with the Cleveland Browns. He sources close to Patton told me that he had hoped to hear tonight whether he would get that second interview with the Cleveland Browns. Also, the indications are that he is very interested in getting that second interview and potentially getting that job. Very attractive job to Mike Patton. You can see why, with some talent on the defensive side of the ball there, some talent overall on the roster for that matter, deep-pocketed owners, room under the salary cap, loyal fan base that whose loyalty has been tested over the years. That sounds familiar. And I think it's a job that would appeal to Mike Patton. It's only there's one of 32 jobs in the NFL. So we'll see. As you heard Coach Marrone say, the Bills have a plan if that should if that should happen. The problem could be, among other complications, you know, does anybody go with Mike Patton? Now, the coaches on the staff are all under contract, at least for one more year. But do they get a promotion that would enable them to go to Cleveland with Mike Patton? That would be a problem. That would be disruption. And that certainly is not what the Bills are looking for. We'll see how this plays out. As I said earlier on in the show, I have a feeling this is all going to sort itself out by mid to late week this week as far as the Patton component. I think we'll know by later this week, maybe Thursday at the latest, whether Mike Patton figures into the Browns' plans. When you talk to the Cleveland Browns people who are here at the Senior Bowl, they will tell you what has been widely reported, that Adam Gase is the guy that the Browns owners want. They're in love with Adam Gase, but of course he has yet to interview for the job and probably, and I don't think he can interview for the job until after the Super Bowl now, which is just a little bit less than 2 weeks away. So that's a complication. If they keep waiting and waiting, you got to figure that's what the Browns are looking for. But that's where the Bills stand as far as Mike Patton. Coach Marone mentioned today that, as many fans talked about, they would love to hire a quarterback's coach. They are going to hire a quarterback's coach, and they're going to get to work on that this week here at Mobile. They are also interested in hiring a receiver's coach, obviously, to replace Ike Hilliard, and they're interviewing candidates for that job here in Mobile as well.
We started that process back in Buffalo, where we brought people in and talked to them. Coming here to Mobile is a great opportunity because you have, obviously most of the coaches are all down here. So, now we have the ability to, talk to two people a day. And, we're looking at that as well as looking for other coaches on offense too.
You may add a quarterback's coach. Tell me why you would think along those lines that you need a quarterback coach now.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett can do it all. I think it was very difficult for him this year with the three quarterbacks that we had to get ready with Kevin Cobb getting injured. I think that was very difficult. He has a responsibility, obviously, of being the offensive coordinator and calling the plays, and that's a lot. And, even though Nathaniel has voiced to me that, it's not a problem and he can do it, and there's no doubt in my mind he can, I think it's, my responsibility to make sure that we bring people in here to help and support.
Head coach Doug Marone, a quarterback's coach on the way for the Buffalo Bills coaching staff. And, of course, a receiver's coach is still out there as well. The coaching staff is the coordinators are here, Nathaniel Hackett, Mike Patton, and Doug Whaley, and Doug Marone, rather, along with the scouts led by Doug Whaley. And they have a pretty regimented day. And Doug Marone talked today about what a typical day is, what today was like for he and his fellow coaches here at the Senior Bowl.
Well, today we got up early, and it was the weigh-in, so you get a chance to see the players weigh in. And there's some insight to that. You look at the player and you say to yourself, I think he can, lose X amount of weight, or this player can put on this amount of weight, or this person's frame is this, or it's not as developed as I think, or it's, very developed. So, you're getting a chance to look at them from that standpoint. And then, really, you're getting a chance to watch them on the field, which is the first opportunity for us to go out there and compete. And there's a lot of things to look for. You want to watch them, how they take instruction, what they're doing when the coach isn't looking at them, how they're running on the field, what their effort level is, because if you're not seeing everything you want to see here, that's a red flag.
That's some pretty interesting comments from Marone talking about what he looks at, watch how they take instruction from coaches. And keep in mind, these are NFL coaches here. And it makes a difference. All these players obviously want to do well, want to put their best foot forward, but they're being coached here by NFL coaches and being asked to perform NFL drills and being asked to go through the paces like a typical NFL practice. Remarkably similar, I think, most of these NFL practices. And Marone, a practiced eye like Doug Marone, can take a look at that and watch body language, watch how players react to the instruction they're getting, and make judgments. I think judgments that carry through as they go through the whole personnel evaluation process. One of the comments Marone said today, which was on the longer form radio interview we did, and that's accessible at buffalobills.com a little bit later on, when he talked about, it's up right now, okay. When he talked, I asked him, do you remember a year ago when you first met E.J. Manuel, sat down with E.J. Manuel, what did you think? And Marone said, I immediately told Nathaniel Hackett, this guy has it. They think he has it, which should, I know that there's opinions out there, divided opinions on whether Manuel's going to make it. There are no guarantees he's going to make it, but at least in the eyes of the Bills coaching staff, he is going to make it. They believe in him pretty firmly, and they think they identified that trait here at the Senior Bowl last year. Tomorrow's going to be another busy day at the Senior Bowl. We're up at 9:30 in the morning for the North team practice, followed by the South team practice earlier in the afternoon, some news conferences later in the day. We don't have a full radio show, but we will be up with a podcast tomorrow at buffalobills.com, so make sure you tune in for that. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and operated since for the last 80 years. We want to thank our engineer back in Buffalo, Pete Cargis, our producer here, the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, with assistance from Mike Adamek and Rachel Licata. Podcast tomorrow, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from the Senior Bowl in Mobile on Buffalo Bills Radio.